This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dr. Tar, can you kindly address the issue of virtual Jumu'ahs? And I mean by virtual Jumu'ahs that an imam standing in a masjid where he has only one mu'adhin and people following him at home. What is your take on this fatwa?
When you say following him at home, are you referring to them
paying two rak'ahs,
not just listening to the khutbah but making two rak'ahs?
Two rak'ahs.
That is invalid, and I'm 100% of that opinion. I don't have any doubt about that not being valid.
I'm sorry, I'm rushing you because I kind of looking at the time now, and I'm being alert, and I do have a lot of questions. What about individual Jumu'ahs at home? What is your take on this?
I also do not think that is valid. And we have a substitute for Jumu'ah in the absence of Jumu'ah, which is Salat al-Dhuhr.
Right.
So there is absolutely no darura or absolute necessity to establish Jumu'ah in the homes or to follow the imam who is doing the Jumu'ah in the masjid. Now, for people who want to listen to the khutbah, yani, because I know that many imams, I actually do Jumu'ah in my masjid as well, make it very clear before we turn off the Beth, yani, the live stream, because we don't live stream the Salat. We only live stream the khutbah. And I make it very clear before we turn off the live stream, if you are watching at home, you have to pray Salat al-Dhuhr, okay? So the khutbah is just so that people are hearing a timely message, yeah, right? Something that is relative to what is happening at their particular time. So they are listening to a talk, in essence, and then they need to pray Salat al-Dhuhr. So I'm not against that. But in terms of following any imam virtually, there are 101 problems with that that would make that salat invalid, and a person should not do that. Even for salat al-Tarawih, people need to be praying in their homes and not following any imam over the internet. I was sent a fatwa today that has been signed by, 10 or so imams in the United States, mentioning the permissibility of following the imam in at Tarawih virtually. And I heard that this fatwa, I didn't see it in English, I saw it in Arabic, but I heard that it is gaining some traction. And I just would like to advise people to be cautious with your deen. Don't just take any fatwa that you see, without doing some type of investigation. And this particular fatwa is self-contradictory. In their second point of the fatwa, they say yushtaratu ittihadu zamani wal makan for the validity of prayer. So in other words, people have to be in the same place and it has to be at the same time. Now, what they mean by that is that as long as you are in the same city as the imam that you are following, then it is permissible. Obviously, if you're in the same city, it's going to be the same time zone. But the reality is, if you say that they have to be in the same place, why are we limiting the place to a city? The reality is I may be in a city and I'm actually closer to another city than I am to the masjid that is in the same city limits. So how are we defining place here? I mean, the fatwa itself doesn't add up when it comes to being in the same place. And obviously, if I'm 10 miles away from you, there's a river between us, there's roads and all types of stuff. How are we in the same place? It doesn't make sense. But more importantly is that a lot of these fatwa that are going around to this effect, they're saying that this is based on ad-darura. No. You know, right now we're in a situation where it's darura, where people can't come to the masjid. I think we need to take a time out and say, wait a minute. What makes it darura? First of all, if Salat al-Tarawih in the first place is not wajiba. Now, we're not saying that it's not a great thing to do. There's not a great reward. Sunnah mu'akkada to the end of it. We can say all of those things. But at the end of the day, nobody is going to say that it's wajiba. It's not. And so therefore, where does the necessity come in, okay, to do something that in the first place is not an obligation upon us? That's number one. I think the second thing that would be important to mention here is that when there is a substitute, then there doesn't cease, there ceases to be any darura. So because I don't have to pray in the masjid and I can pray at home, then again, we don't have any darura. The point being is this. Many of the people who are talking about this being permissible, they're using fiqh technicalities from the Maliki madhab. There is absolutely, and all of them happen to want to be Maliki overnight, which is amazing, because prior to now, they were whatever madhab they followed. And now they're saying, oh, no, but in the Maliki madhab. And, okay, let's just say based on fiqh technicality, it may or may not work out. And it depends on which Maliki sheikh that you ask. Why subject the salat of the people to being invalid when there's another option?
Right.
Right? So that's number one. And then number two, if it's valid based on fiqh technicality, it doesn't cease to be valid because COVID-19 doesn't exist anymore. It's either valid or it's not valid. It doesn't become valid because we have COVID-19. If it's based on fiqh, then it's valid, period, or it's not valid, which means that, and I think that the people who are giving this fatwa are very short-sighted because they're looking at, oh, well, we need to, you know, give people away for this year and so on and so forth. But the reality is once you open that door, you can't close it. So you're going to have people next year and a year after and to the end of it, yani forever, you know, trying to pray via live stream. The mashakil, the problems related with this fatwa are many. I would encourage people, and I know we're short on time, Sheikh Kareem, but just give me a minute to just say this last point.
You got it.
I would encourage people. I think that we have an opportunity this Ramadan. I think we have to make the most out of a difficult situation. This is a difficult situation. Nobody wants to be away from the masjid. That feeling of praying Tarawih in Jama'ah, there's nothing like it. SubhanAllah, you don't get that when you pray by yourself. But there's a different type of sweetness that we may get praying by ourselves or praying just with our families that we may never experience going to Tarawih. And that's because when we pray Tarawih in the masjid, we're actually giving the responsibility to the imam. So I'm going to the masjid, I'm telling the imam, Jazakallah khairan for doing all this muraja'ah, the revision of the Quran, because all I have to do is stand behind you. And as I'm standing behind the imam reciting a little longer than I'm used to, so I kind of doze off, but like I start daydreaming, I travel to, you know, a different country, I come back all in my salat, mashallah. And so what happens as a result is I'm not putting forth the same effort. And this is why we find that a lot of people who pray the entire 30 days of Ramadan, right? They pray every night. You know what happens on the Eid? And then the day after the Eid, they stop praying at night.
It's gone, yeah.
It's gone. Because they were relying on the imam to do all the work.
Yeah.
Well, now what happens is, wait a minute. Now we've got like individual responsibility. Like I have to pray at home.
Family. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. But what happens as a result is now I'm actually getting used to the idea of praying every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully this will be the Ramadan that we actually now establish the night prayer on an individual level, because we're not relying.
I love your positivity, Sheikh. May Allah reward your blessing.